And I want you also to keep your finger there, but turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 through 17. And there the Bible says, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old is gone, and the new is here." You know, we talked about it in our Sunday school lesson this morning about how there was creation, God created everything, how there was, human beings were created for a relationship with God, how we fell, but that God promised us that there would be somebody who would come who would defeat Satan and overcome all the problems that occur in this world through sin. You know, and if you step back and think about that, for God to promise to overcome all the problems in this world through one person, that's a pretty big miracle. Because I know if you just turn on the news for a minute, or if you think about your own life for a minute, your own relationships, your home life, maybe how you grew up, you can think of a whole bunch of problems. And sometimes, even we Christians, we wonder, how is this going to stop? Who is going to end this? But the Bible, we're told that through Christ, something new has already begun. That through Christ, something new has started. And through Jesus, all the good stuff that we are to get received from God as a pure blessing of His grace, the new world that's coming at the end where there is no pain, no suffering, no sickness, no war, no famine, no family strife, no death. All that stuff, if you're a Christian, has already begun in your life the moment that you prayed to receive Christ. And part of what the Bible says in the Gospel of John is that the light, Jesus Christ, came into this world, and He came in this world into darkness. But the darkness couldn't overcome Him, but also that the darkness couldn't understand Him. And what I want to talk to you about this morning is very simple. That if you're going to live for Jesus, you're going to have the mind of Jesus. That if you've been saved, there's a transformation that has to go on in your thought life, in your mind, to live for Jesus Christ. You know, whenever Jesus talks about salvation, He talks about it as a new birth. There's a new beginning. There's a fresh start. You become a different person. You're a new you. And you have to learn a different way of living. When I was a young man, I had a cousin who was in a severe car accident. He was about 9 or 10 years old, and he was unconscious and in a coma for months up here at a Cook's Children's Hospital. And I remember whenever he got out of Cook's, it was just like he was a brand new baby again. I mean, he had to learn how to talk all over. He had to learn how to walk all over. He had to learn how to feed himself all over again. You know, and at 10 years old, he was like, he was a new baby. And I know that's a story of tragedy, but for us, whenever you receive Christ, you become a new person. And part of living a life for Christ means that your thoughts have to be remade. You have to retrain yourself to walk like, talk like, and think like Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Mark 12, verse 30, the greatest commandment, which is repeated from the Old Testament, that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And I think part of the problem a lot of times in church is that we're good at loving God in some sort of spiritual sense, you know, how we feel. Or we're good with loving God in some sort of emotional sense. But we're not at all good at loving God with our mind or with our brain. Let me give you an example. As Christians, We believe that there are three gods. Is that right? Is that right? Y'all are allowed to answer back. Is that right that as Christians we believe that there are three gods? Okay, but as Christians we believe that Jesus is God. Is that right? We believe that the Holy Spirit is God. Is that right? And we believe that God the Father is God. Is that right? But do we believe in three gods? No. We believe in one God revealed in three persons. Now I want to ask you a question. How long have you been in church? Do you understand even the concept of the Trinity? Or when you think about Jesus, do you think about somebody who's different, completely separate from God the Father? And let me tell you, that's a big deal. Because how Mormons get you is they'll say, you know what, I believe that God is God, I believe that Jesus is God, and I believe that the Holy Spirit is God too. We don't really have that much different. But man, when it comes down to the nuts and bolts of what they actually think about that, let me tell you, it's completely different. Jehovah's Witnesses the same way. They'll come down and they'll say, you know, God is God, Jesus is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. We don't really believe that much different. When it comes down to the nuts and bolts of the Christian faith, it's way different because we believe in one God revealed in three persons. We don't believe in three gods. One God revealed in three persons. And some of y'all, I know you've been in church for a long time, but you're already looking at me like, will you explain this? And here's the thing. It's really not that hard to explain. You know, it might be hard to explain how it works, but it's really not that hard to explain what it is that's working. But the reason why we don't in our churches is we are ignorant when it comes to the things of God. Let me ask, how many of you grown adults could stand up right now and list all the books of the Bible in order? How many of you could do it right now? If I had cash money, I'd be pulling out a $10 bill right now and say, hey, okay, whoever did it gets $10, but I'm not going to do it, okay? That'd be gambling. So what I want to know is, like, how many of y'all could stand up right now and tell me the books of the Bible in order? Well, we got some Awanas kids that can. But most of the adults, there are a higher percentage of our Awanas kids that can than the adults in our church. Why? Because we want to love God with our emotions. We want to love God with our feelings. But we don't want to love God with our mind. What kind of sense does that make? You know, last week I told a little bit about new relationships in my life, and I talked about, you know, Jessica and I getting married and having kids. And I just want to tell you, what if I just loved Jessica with my heart and with my emotions, but not with my brain? That wouldn't turn out to be very, very good for me. You know, I know that Jessica's favorite color is purple, okay? I know that her favorite color is purple. And I know that Jessica likes a very simple, plain jewelry, okay? Because she doesn't want to be like flashy and showy. Some of y'all are kind of flashy and showy. That's okay. That's you, all right? But that's just not the way that my wife is, okay? And praise the Lord, she loves shopping on clearance. Man, I was like, I got to marry this girl. Okay. But anyway. Okay, thank you. You don't even know what you're talking about, kid. All right, you don't have a clue, man. All right, so anyway, why am I listening to you? All right, moving on. So if I were to go out and buy my wife some huge honking loop dangly earrings, you know, that were zebra striped and pink and just out there, you know, and I gave it to her, and she didn't like it. I said, but I love you. When I saw these, I felt like they were exactly what you wanted, you know. But if I haven't ever got stopped to take the time to know her, to use my mind to understand her, man, that might work in the beginning, you know? I mean, I remember whenever we first started, I'm a fairly ridiculous person, and man, the first Valentine's Day I spent with her, like, we'd been dating for a month, so I didn't want to get anything too serious, so I got her a get well soon card. I don't know why. I got her, she opened it up, had a purple monkey inside of it. I was like, it said get well soon. I was like, this is great, happy, and I wrote Happy Valentine's Day at the bottom. I don't know why, okay? I was like, she's either going to laugh and we're good and we can keep on dating, or she's going to throw it at me and I know I need to move on, okay? So, but that's what I did. But, you know, it would be not right for me to do the same thing now, because I know her and I've grown in my relationship with her. Because I'm not just loving her with my feelings and with my emotions, but I've got to know things about her. And it's the same thing with us when it comes to God, that we need to have the mind and learn about God. You know, there was a popular movie that just came out, a Christian movie called War Room. And the movie is all about prayer and about what God can do in your life through prayer, and it's a powerful movie. But I wonder if people would flock to the movie theater to see a movie called Study Room. Probably not. About how is your study life? How are the books that you're reading about God? How deep can that go? Because let me tell you, your study room is going to affect what you do in your war room and your prayer room. Because it's only in studying the scriptures and giving your mind over to Christ that you can begin to learn to understand the deeper things of how God wants you to pray. You know, it's only by studying God and having the mind of Christ that you can begin to just sort of feel the overwhelming presence of the God that you served. The Bible teaches us that when we come to know Christ, that the Spirit changes our mind. In Romans chapter 8, verse 6, it says, "The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." Peace. So when you come to know Christ, when you come to know Jesus, it's not just like he saves you from sin, but Jesus is interested in transforming you. And one of the ways that Jesus does that is he starts transforming your mind. The way that you think about things. You know, the way that you act about things. Not only does the Spirit change our mind, but the Spirit, whenever we come to Christ, begins to teach us. The Spirit begins to teach our mind. John 14, 26 says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things or remind you of everything that I have said to you." We must love each other with the mind of Christ. Look, whenever you got saved, the Holy Spirit became a presence in your life. And from that point on, God is busy, or should be busy, about transforming your mind, transforming the way you think. And look, the great thing about being a Christian is you don't have to do this by yourself. The Bible promises us, and Jesus promises us, that the Holy Spirit will teach us things, that the Holy Spirit will show us truths as we study. You know, we talked about it at our SALT Bible study at Diaz's, which is for adults on Wednesday nights. It's real informal. People are munching on tacos while I'm teaching. You know, it's great. We had a good time. I encourage you all to come, okay? But one of the things we talked about, and I lost my thought train. There it went. There, I see the caboose. Back up. Back up. It's not backing up. Okay. It's still not backing up. Anyway, one of the things that the Bible does teach us, though, is that God will teach you new truths. New truths about Him. I remember. All right, at Diaz's on Wednesday night, we talked about the fact that a lot of times we get stuck in a rut in our walk with God, and we get bored in going to church, walking with Christ. It's boring. And the reason why that is because you're not actually doing anything for God. And it's only when you start doing stuff for God that the Holy Spirit really moves in your life, because it's the Spirit that enables you to do things for God. And the same thing is true when it comes to being taught about who God is. It's the Spirit that teaches you. And so I just encourage you that if your walk with Christ is stale, if your spiritual life is stale, maybe it's because you're not into the Word. Maybe it's because you're not into Scripture. And not only that you're not reading it, but that you're not studying it. And there's a difference. There's a difference between reading and study. You know, if I came up here unprepared to teach a sermon, if I came up here and I hadn't gone through my passage, and I just read some scripture and sat down, what would that be like? But there's a difference between reading and knowing what you're talking about. And it's in those times of study that I found in my life that that God has really spoken to me. Why? Because it's the Spirit. I'm giving God an opportunity to instruct me, to teach me the truths of His Word. You know, we're supposed to love each other with the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one spirit and of one mind." Romans 15, 5, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind to each other that Jesus Christ had." You know, not only are we supposed to have the mind of Christ, we're supposed to study the Scripture and be involved in learning the things of God, but it's through that that we get unified as a church. It's through that that we have unity as a church because we're all walking with the same spiritual thoughts. We're all walking together with the same mind of Jesus. You know, I don't have to tell you. You've been in churches before. Churches can be tacky, cruddy places sometimes. They can just be terrible. And I know that. My dad was a preacher. I saw the whole dark side of everything. Man, there are times where I didn't want to get up in the morning and go. You know? But most of the reason all that stuff ever happened was because somebody got their mind off of Jesus. They got their mind off of Jesus, and they started getting their mind on themselves. And I guarantee you that anytime there's conflict in the church, that there's one group of people, or sometimes one person, they're not in the Word. They're not studying. They don't have a prayer life. They just want things their way. And I can't even begin to tell you how important it is for the health of a church that we have people who are interested in loving God with their mind, who study the Scriptures, who spend time knowing the Word of God. You know, when I go through my checklist, if I'm going to be out of town, I go through my checklist in the church of who are the people that I could ask to come up here and teach, and they could do it. It ought to be every single adult in this place. And you say, well, I don't have the gift of teaching. No, 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 you might not have the talent of teaching, but the gift is different. The whole point of spiritual gift is God enables you to do something that you wouldn't be able to do on your own. I am nervous in front of crowds. Every time before I get up here, I get sick to my stomach. I don't like to sing in front of people. I like to kind of keep to myself, but God has called me for whatever reason to preach. And so the whole point of a spiritual gift is I believe that God has gifted me spiritually to do so, so that when I get up here, I don't rely on my own strength and what Jonathan Bowman wants to do and what Jonathan Bowman is comfortable with. I get up here and rely on what maybe God can do through me, with me. But you know, I want to ask you, if somebody asks you to get up and be prepared to speak about the things of God, could you do it? Would you be willing? Do you know that's a command in Scripture to always be prepared? To give a reason for the hope that's in you? Always be prepared. But we're not, because we want the emotional Jesus. We want the little fluffy, soft Jesus, but we don't want to delve deeply into the things of God. You know, you will never worship God any more than what your concept of God is. Your worship of God will never rise above who you believe God to be. You know, and it's not just a brain game. And I really want you to get that the study of God, having God teach you things, increases your love and your worship of Him. We just sang a song, "I Am Redeemed. He set me free. I'm not the same." Let me ask you, mature church-going Christian, what is redemption? What are the different ways that God has redeemed you? Because see, once you begin to study the Word, and once you begin to study the Scriptures, and you realize all that God has done for you and the different things that He has redeemed in your life, you can sing that song instead of redemption being defined narrowly as this much. You can open up your mouth and sing to God, "You have redeemed me," and your concept in your mind is covering this much. And man, your worship just grows. Because you're beginning to worship Him and seeing Him for who He is. You know, going back to my relationship with Jessica, not that everything needs to be about that, but I don't feel the same about Jessica as I did whenever we were first dating, okay? And let me tell you something, that's a good thing. You know, and I've talked to a lot of Christians, they're like, man, I don't feel like how I did when I first come to Christ. Look, if you mature in your faith, you're not going to. Because there's going to be something deeper. There's going to be something more concrete. There's going to be something more real. And something more valuable. That's not like a little puppy Jesus love. No, you've got something more. And how you get there, how you grow in your walk with Christ, is by learning about God. You grow in your relationship with Him. The Bible tells us that the lost don't have the mind of Christ. Lost people don't have the mind of Christ. And I really want us to understand this too. Romans chapter 8, verse 7, it says, "The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, and it can't." It can't. You know, as a Christian, because you got saved and because you're something new and because God, through the Holy Spirit, is changing your mind, and because you're growing in your walk with Christ, you live your life in a different way than a lost person. But also, you need to understand that a lost person cannot think rightly about spiritual things. It's not just that they make bad decisions and we make good decisions. Man, I wish Christians would take the language of bad choices and good choices out of your vocabulary. There's not a bad choice or good choice in Scripture. There's sin, and then there's following God. Bad choices and good choices, that's for lost people who don't understand that your mental life, your decision life, is spiritual. But there's sin, and then there's living for God. And we need to understand that as a Christian, you have the mind of Christ, that you can live your life in a way that a lost people not only will not, but they cannot. They can't. And why don't we see that more so? Well, because we don't give our minds over to Christ. The Bible gives us a warning for lost people, that God will darken their mind. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 says, "Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind." You know, what the Bible teaches us, or what the Bible teaches about lost people, about lostness, is lost people can't, they cannot have the mind of God. But also, eventually, if a lost person keeps on saying no and no and no and no to God, that God will eventually say, okay, it's permanent. It's set in stone. For the rest of your life, you're not going to want me, you're not going to think about me, you're going to be rebellious against me, and you're going to die and go to hell. Because you rejected me, and you rejected me, and you rejected me, and your chance is gone. You know? To give you another relationship example, but I won't. But your chance is gone. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. "But their minds were made dull." Not that their minds became dull, but that their minds were made dull. For to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. What's that saying? It's saying that knowledge has a spiritual component. Knowledge has a spiritual component. And for somebody to understand the gospel, to come to the truth of the gospel, that God has to do a work in that person's mind. They can't do it on their own. And that's why in churches, listen to me, that's why in churches we have a bunch of people who say that they're saved, but they're not. It's because they understood mentally that Jesus Christ died on a cross for their sins, and they understood mentally that he rose from the dead, and they understood mentally that they needed to accept him, but God never did a spiritual work in their life. And they know it. They just walked on aisle, said some words like it was a formula, and said, wham, bam, I'm saved now. But God never did a spiritual work in their life. And I can tell you, when I was 6 years old, that God did a spiritual work in my life. And that's the only thing that's kept me anchored to him. The only thing, because God did a work to open up my mind to the truth of the gospel. I want to ask you this morning just a real simple question. Do you love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and with your mind? Because it's going to make a difference in your life if you get into the study of God and his word. And it's going to make a study in the life of people around you if you get into the study of God and to his word. Let me tell you, for 10 years I was a youth pastor. I've just been trying to do this pastor gig, you know, for 7 or 8 months. Okay? I'm fresh at it. But for 10 years I was a youth pastor. And my idea on youth ministry was, and this is just a good idea on leadership in general, is you can't ever take people beyond where you are. You are never going to disciple your kids to be a better Christian than the level that you're at. It's not going to happen. You cannot take people beyond where you are. But my idea as a youth pastor was this, is I'm not going to water down the word. I'm not going to dumb down the word. I'm going to preach to youth just like I preach to adults. And I'm going to raise the bar. And man, my idea as a youth pastor was all this questioning stuff I went through. How was the Bible made? Where did it come from? How do you know it's the word of God? How do you know God exists? How do you know Jesus rose from the dead? All that kind of stuff. Man, that I was going to teach them on this level. Right? I'm 33. I wanted all my students to know as much or more about God, the Bible, religious philosophy, everything else. I wanted them to know as much as I did, if not more, by the age that they were 16, so that when they were 33, they could just kick the lost world in the tail. You know what I'm saying? Like, go to town on the devil. Because they had all this knowledge stored up. And you go, I got a text this week from one of my former students. His name was David Thompson, and me and David were really good buddies. You know, I mean, I was his youth pastor, but we were good buddies. We'd hang out. He loved God for sure. But David wasn't a dummy. You know, valedictorian of his class, 32 on his ACT. I mean, he was a sharp, sharp kid. And he wanted to go deep with the Lord. So we did, man. We did. We went as deep as I could go. I mean, I even drove him down here to Baylor University at the age of 17, him and a few other youth, to go to a religious philosophy conference so that they would be as prepared as they could be when they went out there into the world. And I got a text from him this week that said, Jonathan, thank you so much for pushing me in my walk with Christ. He's a philosophy major now on a secular campus. And right now they're going through the reasons why there is no God, the reasons why you can't believe the Bible, the reasons why Jesus didn't rise from the dead. And let me tell you, he's able to stand up in his class and defeat them because he decided that he was going to love God with all his heart, soul, his strength, and his mind. And man, if I hadn't, and I'm not putting it on me. I mean, God brought us together and that kind of thing, so don't see me as taking any credit. But just, we might have another intelligent, used-to-be Christian going to a school somewhere. And there's a lot of those. Because we aren't faithful disciples to love God with our brain, to love God with our mind. You know, and I know I hear the bells ringing. I've talked for a long time this morning, but let me just tell you, we don't live in a Christian America anymore. We don't, I mean, they all know that, right? We don't live in a Christian America. There are tons of religions out there, all right? And man, as a youth pastor, I used to tell this stuff, and I'd have students go online. They would, like, fact-check me Google while I'm up here talking, all right? Because they're not going to give Christianity a free pass. Let me tell you, like, the Bible tells me so. That's not going to work on a bunch of lost folks. And we need to step up as Christians. We need to step up our game and devote our whole lives, to Jesus Christ. Christ has given us a new mind. Study to show yourselves approved. Love God with everything that you have. Let's pray. Dear God, I just thank you that we can trust you. I thank you for the new person that you've made us all who know you to be. God, I pray for anybody who doesn't have a relationship with you, they're in this room today, that they would heed the warnings of your word, that if they reject you, that someday you will give them over to that, and their chance to repent will be gone. God, I pray that we would be people who love you with everything that we have, that we would have the mind of Christ, that we wouldn't be swayed by every sort of doctrine or new idea that comes up, but that we'd be able to sort through and filter through and test the spirits, be able to see what is truly from you, because we know your word, because we studied your word, because we want to know more about you. And God, I just pray at this moment that if there's somebody in here who has slacked off in their study or slacked off in their desire to know you, including me too, God, days when I do, that you would just help us to repent from that and just to pursue you as passionately as we can. Sure, I'm going to pray. Amen. This time, I'd just like y'all to stand for a hymn of invitation and just spend some time dedicating to talking to God and dedicating to him that you're going to love him with everything you have, including with your mind.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still
Okay, well, we're going to have our after potluck fellowship meal as soon as I pray for the food, and which will be real quick, I promise. The other thing, yes? Sure, you can pray. Good job. Good call. All right. So the other thing is that we are going to go into, if you remember, after we're done eating, we're going to go into a real quick time of official business meeting just to talk about what God wants us to do with our worship services, talk about possibly going to two worship services. So if you're a church member, you want to stick around and be in discussion for that. Revive America's coming up. I want you to be thinking about somebody who's lost, who you can take to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and to listen to some good Christian rap, because that's what I'll be there for. And some of y'all are like, preacher listens to rap? Yeah, I do. Okay. It's good. Okay. And anyway, and so that'll just be the next thing coming up. And then there's a student leadership team meeting today at 4 o'clock. All right.